Although I'm gonna delete everything that I just had unless you want me to keep it, because it's currently at 24 minutes and we haven't actually talked about anything hockey related. You know what? I'll just leave it. You can have fun editing. All right, Ray. So here to do hockey.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, we'd like to welcome one brand new listener to the show, Coach Peter Laviolette. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for getting to know this team so well. That's right. The Capitals have brought in a new head coach. That didn't take long. And it's the guy that most people thought was probably coming in. Joining me as always, he didn't even get a call back when he sent his resume in. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I still think it's funny that my nickname is Coach, even though I clearly, if anybody listens to the show for more than the last few, clearly I am more interested in the player movement areas than actually. I do coach. Well, I used to, and hopefully will again once this global pandemic goes the hell away. Soccer or football for our European listeners. But yeah, I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Feeling good. People that haven't been around for years, you know, I started calling you Coach Dan because my plan was to introduce you kind of like Al Borland, where I was going to give you a different title every single show. But then after like two or three, I'm like, you know what? Coach Dan just kind of has a ring to it. So I just kind of stuck with that.
So, it works. It also means I'd have to change my Twitter handle every week, which, I'll be honest, sounds like a pain. So, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I did for a little bit when we were going down on the farm. I did switch your name up every single episode. That was a lot of work to find more and more things to compare your name to a farm animal.
I was both annoyed and impressed.
Well, let's start this show off with some Caps news. The Caps are welcoming Peter Laviolette as the new head coach of this team. We talked a little bit, you and myself and Ryan, who has been on the show many times. We discussed who we thought the coach was going to be, and I think all of us kind of assumed his name was at least going to be in the running and was probably the guy they were going to go with, and they did. What did you think of this pick? Because last time we talked, you were like, he's kind of crazy. I don't know if he's the guy we should go with.
No, that was Babcock. Not kind of. Babcock's... I don't know if it's a Babcock's crazy or just a bad person.
Well, they said he was in the running, but because of, like, the cloud around him right now, they were like, yeah, no.
It's not a cloud. That dude's got a freaking thunderstorm around him right now. Like, bad things happen when that putz is around. Like, he may or may not be a good coach, but he's a dummy. No, Laviolette became the 19th head coach in Caps history. I'm surprised. I was partially surprised. I was partially for two reasons. One, I didn't think they were going to announce it yet. I thought we were going to have a little bit more time. Two, I really thought they're going to go after Gallant a little bit harder than they did. Now, I was reading that part of the issue was being able to have an in-person conversation with him or some sort of setup that way because he's in Canada and traveling to the two countries is not very easy right now.
No.
So that made it very difficult, but I think they were really impressed with Laviolette. I think they really liked what he had to say. I really appreciated the fact that I think it was the day it was announced, he hung a Caps flag at yes. his lakeside house in New Hampshire. And so I was like, it's not a big deal, but it's kind of fun to see the coaches like, look, guys. I'll be honest, before they hired Trotz, because it was Trotz and Laviolette were the two coaches that were like the big names on the market when the Caps had decided to fire Adam Oates. And I wanted Laviolette because of I felt like he had a better record. As with most things, I was wrong because it worked out pretty well with Trotz. But no, you know, I think it'll work. I don't think it's a long-term hire. I don't think they're going to bring this guy in and he's going to be here for 5, 6, 7 years because
really?
He doesn't tend to last very long in, I believe that's what I read. He doesn't last very long in most of his places. You know, when he, let me go through his coaching right now. He, okay, so he's with the Islanders for about 2. Carolina, he was there for 5 years. Philly for 5. Nashville for 5. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought I'd read that he was only in most places for 3 years. He could be here for a while, but I think this is really, this is a coach that they're bringing in with the window to win another cup with these players is starting to close a little bit. They're older. I think Ovechkin just had his like 35th birthday party, which I'm sure was a huge event.
Oh, yeah.
The Russian machine to figure out what was going on there. I don't really care myself.
Fireworks, bands, DJs.
Good God. So, to have that kind of money. I think this is the guy that can come in and he can help them win. He's done really well everywhere he's gone. He's always improved the team. He won a cup in Carolina. You know, I don't love that he used to coach the Flyers, but I can't really control that. But I think that he is a coach that's going to come and he's going to help the defense because the defense really struggled. And I believe I read something recently about the team's not very happy with the defensive core, at least how it's set up. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple things happen with that unit this offseason. And then I think that he really can help the turn things around a bit. I think he's going to be a coach that he's not a player's coach, I don't think, which I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he is going to hold these guys responsible for how they play more like Trotz would do. And I think that he's going to be able to motivate them, which Todd Reirden did not. And so I think it's a good hire. We'll see what happens. If it wasn't Gallant, I'm happy with Laviolette. I wasn't really interested in any of the other candidates that were thrown out there, whether they were involved in the hiring process at any point in time or not, we don't know. But it really looked like it'd come down to those three guys, Laviolette, Babcock, and Gallant. I was hoping for Gallant. We're getting Laviolette. I was wrong the last time. Let's hope I'm wrong this time as well.
I'm excited to see what he can do, what he can bring to the team. I think that he is a talented coach. It seems like you said, he comes in for a couple years and really turns some teams around. It seemed like he did that in Nashville and was really helping that team out. It then kind of lost that luster pretty quickly. But like you said, Ovi's 35. He's got maybe 5 years left in the tank, and you got to re-sign him. So this could potentially be his last coach as a Capital. So we'll see what happens. He's got maybe a 5-year window to win a cup again. So we need somebody there that can kind of hold him accountable and make him feel like he's one of the boys, even though he is the all-star and one of the By the way, the boys. I watched season one.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch season 2. I don't know. Season 1, though, wasn't impressed.
So, back on topic. Laviolette, I mean, I'm looking at his... I'm on Wikipedia right now looking at his head coaching record. You know, he's got a good record. He won the Cup, like I said, with Carolina. And with Philly, he made the playoffs, lost in the Cup Finals. He lost in the Cup Finals with Nashville as well, but he made it in the playoffs. Carolina, in the 5 years, with the fifth being the one he got fired 25 games in... He only made the playoffs once, but he won the cup that year, so well done there. But he, you know, his teams make the playoffs, and this is a Capitals team that should be making the playoffs. They need to do a little bit of revamping with this lineup. I think he's going to be able to get a decent amount out of a guy like Vrana. I think he's going to improve the defensive core. I think he's definitely going to, not that John Carlson needs improvement, but I think we're going to see him be even better. And then I think he's going to have an opportunity to... you know, work with Brian McClellan to sign some, either sign, trade, whatever the case may be, set up a solid defensive core. When you have a couple of young guys coming up, likely to play with this team, like an Alex Alexiev or, not Lewington, Favari, you know, these are young guys that are Singenthaler that need to be playing. And I think having a head coach that has improved other team, his prior team's defensive units is a good thing for them.
Yeah, let's hope that he can do that, and a veteran coach with some young players. Hopefully, they can all work together. Isn't Brooks Orpik a part of like the development staff with the Capitals? I'm wondering if this new coach comes in, if maybe Brooks Orpik could take a little bit more of a coaching role with the Capitals organization. What do you think?
So first, we don't know what's happening with the assistant coaches. You know, Laviolette could want his own guys.
I have to assume he's going to want his own guys in there.
I mean, you would think so, but we'll see. On the website, Scott Arneal, Blaine Forsythe are still both there.
Why?
Scott Murray is the goaltending coach. Actually, he's pretty good, I think. Leonard is still there as the video coach. And then Tim Ohashi is still the video analysis. I'm trying to find Orpik, but I don't remember specifically what his role is. You're right. Player development. So maybe it's a little early to be like, just throw him behind the bench. I know a dude from my area, Brandon, who I talked to on Twitter, writes with Caps Outsider, where I used to write. He'd love to see Tampa Bay's Jeff Halpern make his way back to the DC area to be an assistant coach. But I think Laviolette has to decide what he wants to do with his assistants first, with the guys that are already here, and then kind of go from there. Another couple names you might recognize as scouts, Matt Bradley.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Brian Sutherby. So yeah, that's kind of what I guess my thoughts are on Laviolette. I think, you know, I think it makes sense. When announced it, my biggest shock wasn't so much, I guess, that he was the person. It was more the timing.
Really quick.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be quite that quick. I didn't think it was going to be announced just yet. I'm a little surprised we haven't heard anything about the assistant coaches at this point, though. Speaking of one guy who I don't know what's going to happen with, Ilya Kovalchuk. I saw something, I don't know if it's true, but I saw something that Montreal is no longer interested in bringing him back.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true. But I don't know where he's going to go. Edmonton apparently was interested. They're out. Montreal is no longer apparently interested. I could foresee, if it was cheap, the Caps bringing him back. I don't think it's going to happen, but like, I could see a world where it does happen. And considering we are definitely in the bizarro, if there are multiple worlds and universes, we're in the weird one.
We're in the darkest timeline right now.
Yeah. Is that a Community reference?
It is. Community is awesome.
I am on the sixth season right now.
Oh, you're almost done.
I didn't know you watch. I am almost, I'm a little bit bored about once Donald Glover left.
Dude, I watched that from the pilot on NBC until it aired on Yahoo. I'm one of the original Community fans that stuck with it.
There are many great moments in Dial, and there's so many times where I'm rewinding because something made me laugh and I wanted to watch it again.
Yeah.
But it definitely took a bit of a step down once Donald Glover left.
Well, there were three solid seasons, and then season four, Dan Harmon got fired.
I didn't think season four was like that bad.
That was bad. And then Harmon came back for the fifth, and then Donald Glover left. And
His name was blowing up, and he wanted to start doing his own stuff.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't so much that like he wasn't on the show anymore. Just the flow wasn't the same because you didn't have the same relationships. Now it felt like, with Abed's character, they were like forcing him into situations that just didn't make sense.
Yeah. But
so
great
anyways,
show.
Show. Yeah, we're definitely in the darkest timeline.
But I mean, Kovalchuk was just at Ovi's 35th birthday party, so they're still homies. They're still buds.
Yeah, but they'd be homies whether he got traded here or not. Now, I don't think they'll sign him, but I could see it happening. Like if I gotta watch now, I'm gonna get a notification tomorrow. If I get a notification tomorrow saying Cap signed Kovalchuk to 1 year's $12 million deal, not going to be that much. It'd be like a, hopefully no more than like a $750,000 deal.
Yeah, it would have to be less than a million, and it would have to be, you know, 1 year, because Kovalchuk was a freaking ghost. They signed him and it was like, oh, you know, the fourth line's only got two players out there. He had one shot in the how many games did they play in the bubble? What was it? They played 7 games, I think.
It was like 11. They had 3 round robins, the 1 exhibition game, and then 5 games.
Yeah, so he had one shot in all of those games.
Nine. Oh, wow, I got the other number.
But if he would like to come in for almost no money, and, you know, if he wants to be in a Hershey Bears jersey as well, he can do that.
He's not going down to the minors. Like, not that they wouldn't send him down, but there's no way he'll do it. Now, here's the thing. The bottom six needs some work. Now, whether that means trades or whatever, but the bottom six, talk about guys that were invisible. There's only 6 skaters that were actually participating, if that many. You know, Veronica may not count, so may only be 5 skaters that were actually participating in Toronto. Forwards, I should say. So, this team does need a bit of a revamp.
Yes.
I think not a rebuild, but a retool. Rebuild implies that you're having a fire sale, which I don't think this team is in no way needs to do that.
No, absolutely not.
But I do think that they need to look at retooling the bottom six. I think someone needs to find a way to fix Vrana.
He's training hard right now. He's posting pictures on Instagram and some video. He is training hard right now.
Good for him. Put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
You don't need to get big and strong. You need to score goals. Speed is your big factor. That's what makes you so dangerous. That, and you're supposed to be a good hockey player. And you are a good hockey player. But you need to put the puck in the net. And we didn't see any of that in the entire time that he was hanging out in Toronto. You know, but the bottom six was a pretty big disappointment once the season started up again. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about Kuznetsov. I don't think he's necessarily going anywhere. And I don't know necessarily what kind of package you'd be able to get for him, whether it'd be worth it. But I hope that Laviolette's a guy who's going to come in. He's going to be able to motivate these guys and get them to play better. And the nice thing is he's a coach with history. He's a coach with a pedigree that's going to be able to push them and be like, look, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not some first-year head coach in the NHL. I've been around this game long enough. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I think he'll bench guys and put them up in the press box if he has to, and we'll put in someone who's going to play harder. Maybe they won't be as talented, but they'll be able to give more to try and help the team win.
That's what I want to see. There's talent on this team in the bottom six on the defense. There is talent, but Todd Reuter did not know how to get that on the ice, how to get this team to work as a cohesive unit. The bottom six, though, I mean, this is like George McPhee type of bottom six right now. This is let's just hope these guys kind of work out. We're gonna hedge our bets because you got guys like, you know, Ponick,
Hagelin, and Hathaway, Dowd, Boyd. Eller, I think at the bottom six, I'm leaving Eller alone.
Yeah.
I'm leaving Dowd alone, and I'm probably leaving Hathaway alone. Because I like what he brings physically. I like to get, you know.
If he can fight instead of Wilson, and Wilson can be on that top line and scoring goals, then yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. But I think McClellan's got his work cut out for him this offseason. And it's going to be hard because they don't have a lot of cap space. Cap Friendly has them at just under $9 million in projected cap space. You know what? I think you got to move Orlov.
Yeah. I've been saying that for years.
And it's no... I'm not saying it for the same reason you are, because you hate him as a human being, and his him being on this planet offends you.
He's just not good.
I think you need the cap space. That's 5.1 million in cap space. That would literally get you up to 14 million in cap space. I mean, if you move Kuznetsov, you're then at 21 million, but you're not doing that. 21, almost 22 million. But if you move Orlov, you now have a lot of money to play with, depending on what you get back. If it's a big money for big money contract back, then that or a deal that doesn't do you any good in that regard. But if you can move out Orlov, get a guy for half that amount, you know, now you've got 11 million to play with, and you need to re-sign some guys. You know, not Kolachuk. You're probably not re-signing Travis Boyd, though. Maybe. I mean, he's 27 at this point. He just turned 27. 10 days ago. Hey, happy belated birthday, Travis Boyd. You're going to need to re-sign, hopefully, Dylan. Gudas is gone. You need to re-sign Sangenthaler. Holpe's gone. McClellan came out and said that Holpe's definitely going to free agency. I don't see how he comes back, which means you now likely need to sign a backup goaltender. Liam O'Brien,
let me
your
just
boy.
Say this. Let me just say this about the backup goaltender. It'd be really nice if he was willing to be a backup and came at the right price, because he is older, but the King of New York, Henrik Lundqvist, would be a great backup goaltender.
Not happening.
I mean,
was genuinely curious where you were going with that one.
I'd be okay, because I like Lundqvist a lot. And if he wants to win a Stanley Cup, come here and try to win one.
When you were doing that whole thing, I was like, where is he going with this? not happening. Actually, no, now that I'm looking at it, I don't really know who else they would be re-signing. O'Brien, maybe. Gersick.
He seems like a lifetime AHLer.
Yeah, Gersick, probably the same. They might re-sign him. Connor Hobbs needs a new deal. Lucas Johansson, who I think wants to leave, he needs a new deal. I could actually see him potentially being part of a package. Lewington needs a new deal, and Colby Williams will need a new deal. So and not to mention even after this season, they have to re-sign a certain franchise player who apparently is looking for something in the ballpark. Rumor is he's looking for something in the ballpark of 12 mil a season.
And you know,
that's expensive. Not to mention, you also need to re-sign Jacob Vrana, Ilya Samsonov, Snively, Axel Janssen-Fjällby, Pylon, Melanstein, Skarbosa. I just like his name.
Ovi, of course, he's going to look for that because he's worth that. But at the same time, the Capitals are going to be like, dude, you're going to be 36. Like, you're the old guy now.
Get out. No, he's still producing, though.
Yeah, I mean.
So it's hard to be like, sorry, bud. Like, he's still producing at of quite a high level.
Yeah, he's one of the best. I mean, this is, what, his 14th year being in the talk for the league MVP award? I mean, he's one of the best ever.
Oh, he's definitely Hall of Fame, without question.
First ballot.
Oh, yeah. And so, actually, it would be nice. I know no one else really care about this, but it would be nice if him and Crosby actually got elected in the same, what is it? Elected? Honored. Whatever the hell.
Nominated?
Not. I don't think it's nominated, though. If they both get into the hall the same year, that would be cool.
Yeah. We should go. If we're allowed to travel at that point.
Yeah, well, if one thing at a time. Oh, dude, we could go. We could hang out with Ryan.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll bring COVID with us. Ryan, help us. This McClellan and Laviolette have their work cut out for them this season and then this offseason and then the following one as well.
And you and I were talking about this a little bit off air earlier today about how long this offseason may be. And we were kind of speculating when we might see the next season. And I guess I'm a little bit more dire, I guess is the right word.
Slightly. Your glass is not even half empty. Like, there's no there's no liquid in the glass. You don't even have a glass.
I will admit I agree with that, absolutely. But it's like, hey, if you think the worst, you're not going to be disappointed when it happens.
No, dude, we've been through two lockouts. Like, yeah, you will.
Like, when the whole COVID thing began in March, my first thing was like, all right, well, there go the holidays. Holidays are over, and everyone's like, this isn't going to last that long. And I'm like, nope, Halloween's not happening this
year.
We're
all going to die.
Yeah, I'm like, it ain't happening.
No, I don't know. I still think people are going to go trick-or-treating. There is a safe way to do Halloween.
No.
I'm not saying you should go trick-or-treating. You're an adult male.
Let's get back on topic here. So, like, we don't know when the offseason will end. The NHL was saying that they were hoping that the season would get going, training camp mid-December, and then the league actually starts in January.
I thought it was November.
Even that's not happening. It's not. So
they're hoping. I think actually it could be what you wanted all along. January 1. And that would be a great idea. But I think it's going to be hard. Because the players were, as we read that article from ESPN, or on ESPN, I should say, the players were less than thrilled with the bubble from a personal standpoint.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to do it again. Maybe for the playoffs, because you have something to play for, but for the regular season, they're not doing it.
No, I mean, 82 games, the way that they were living. It's an ESPN article. We should post it on our Facebook page. But former Puck Daddy blogger, he was one of the co-writers.
Greg Wyshynski.
Yeah, and I can't remember the other author. But they spoke with a couple players that were in the bubble, and they said that the NHL did a great job making them feel secure because they were very safe. They were getting tested every single day, and they had, the hotels on lockdown. You couldn't get in or out unless you had a certain pass. And I mean, the way that they kept these guys safe 100% worked. But at the same time, some of the things that were promised to the players, like food trucks and amenities, like they could go shopping at like tiny little shops. Like they were sold on the NHL taking over a little town and then being able to kind of do things, go to golf courses and fly fishing. And a lot of those things didn't happen. They were also told they were able to bring some of their family, But then the NHL kind of went back on their word with that. And if, you know, you were a younger player, you know, you weren't able to get a private jet and fly your girlfriend up to Edmonton if you wanted her there. So that was a little bit more taxing, you know, that you pretty much were a hockey player and you had no other interest, but you played hockey. And you, when you weren't playing hockey, you were thinking about the game and that's it. You couldn't really do anything else. And I mean, the one thing where the guy was like, oh, it felt like a prison yard. Well, I mean, I don't really know if I want to go that far because it's a pretty nice yard. But at the same time, other players weren't seeing sunlight for a couple days. So I don't, yeah, like you said, I don't see the NHL doing that for a full year or a full season. But the logistics of getting 82 games out where you have to travel to Canada and to the U.S. and back and forth, I don't see that happening for at least a year. I don't, this time next year, we might be, that will be the first time we're talking about another season in my eyes.
So that's the tricky part. Going back, I looked it up. So the article was written by Emily Kaplan and Greg Wyshynski. It's a great piece to read. Some of the stuff, like you were talking about how they didn't get, you know, food trucks and all the amenities that they were promised. Like, first of all, it's messed up. The NHL didn't provide the things that they promised, you know, more golf outings, opportunities for the players to relax in between playing these games. Some of this stuff is, you know, a bit of a, I'm playing the world's smallest violin, like Cry Me a River type stuff. But I can understand it from the family point of view that players were promised, or at least they were told, when you get, if you get to the conference finals, your families will be allowed to attend. And then the teams that got to the conference finals are like, okay, so how many rooms are you going to need? We're running out of rooms. And you're like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, you guys said we were going to be able to do this. You should have already had this planned out, which is true. It's hard to be away from your family for that long.
Absolutely.
As someone who has this small human who drives me crazy because, A, I can't understand half the things he's trying to say. And then, B, he's psychotic. It sucks to be away from him sometimes because he's fun to play with. But to tell someone, so you got to be away from your family, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the case may be, you know, and your kids, that's not okay. Now, there's a way to have this season happen. There's a way to do this. We've seen it with Major League Baseball. They've gotten better. We've seen it with Major League Soccer to an extent. And we're seeing it in Europe right now with... in Germany, in England, in France, it's working to an extent. You know, players are still testing positive. Some famous players like Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Although, I'm pretty sure the joke is that COVID got Zlatan, not the other way around. Brandon, that's a soccer reference for you. You're not going to get this. Ryan somewhere is giggling. You're not going to get it. Anyways, so my stupid joke now made me lose my train of thought. Basically there's a way to do it, but the tricky part is sort of what we talked about before, playing the Canadian teams or the Canadian teams coming to the US is going to be tricky. Right now they're the Buffalo Blue Jays for a reason,
right?
Because Canada won't let them play. I don't know how that part's going to work. You know, it might be that those players have to, I don't know. So that's the key point. And I think that's where you have a really good point with your non-existent glass that it's going to be difficult because it's not one team. You can't just move Toronto to Buffalo and everybody, you know, you move your family for a couple months or whatever the case may be. It's all of the Canadian teams. Maybe Vancouver can go to Seattle, but where's Toronto going? Where's Ottawa, Montreal? Where are Winnipeg and Edmonton and Calgary going? They can't all occupy. I mean, you could put a couple in Minnesota and the other ones in like Buffalo and Boston. Oh, please put the Canadians in Boston just for the stories alone. But then you're still running into the same issues of players being away from families.
Yeah.
So that's where I think you have things real interesting. But there's so many different things that could happen between now and... well, according to some people now in the election, in November or January, like reality or the spring. So, you know, it's tough to say. We'll have to see, you know, I just was reading about one of the vaccine trials is moving into their final testing phase. So that's a good sign. And it's a legitimate company, not whichever one Putin thinks was working.
And that's the other thing we were talking about is a vaccine. And, you know, they were on Capitol Hill. I mean, we're talking freaking politics on a hockey podcast.
We talk about all sorts of stuff on this podcast. It was only a matter of time.
Yeah, but they were talking about it, how there might be a vaccine available November, December, but that's only going to go to frontline workers. And it's not going to be mass produced yet. And then as the second wave hits, you know, we're expecting more and more people to get sick. Well, those people that are getting sick are going to be the first people to get the vaccine after the first responders. So then you're looking at springtime for it to be available to potentially the masses. So, I mean, is that when athletes who are getting it because they travel and are at a high risk because of that, is that when they get it? I don't know, but I don't see the NHL being at the front of the line for when this vaccine does come out. And you have guys like Ovi right now who are over in Russia, who are going to KHL games, who are shaking hands with people in the stands, who are hanging out with kids on the ice and playing with kids that aren't theirs. It's easily transmittable. And guys like Ovi are over in Russia right now and are not taking precautions whatsoever. The KHL has plenty of fans in the stands. And as long as you're being safe, that's fine. We're seeing that right now with the NFL. But you see a lot of those people in the stands not wearing masks, not being socially distant. I mean, there's so many things that need to be done.
We can't figure out our country alone, you know.
Yeah, it's you have. There's so many factors going into this, going into next season, that you're gonna have to think about that were not a thing just a few months ago. But it's you know, it's. I think they did a great job getting this tournament going for so they could hand out the Stanley Cup. And presenting the Stanley Cup on game one, by the way, and putting it and having the cup watch the game was the coolest sight I've ever seen in my life. That was amazing. I loved it.
Did they put – I didn't see this. Did they put the big, like, googly eyes on it?
They did not do that.
I'm not interested anymore.
Did not look like gritty. But, you know, the fact that they just had the cup watching the game, I thought was such a great idea.
No googly eyes, not worth it.
This is what you guys are playing for. But I don't know. I'm thinking best case scenario, February, March, they have a mini season and maybe do like 48 games. But realistically, I think we're talking about the first training camp of 2021 this time next year.
So again, you have no glass.
Yeah.
You, no water, no glass, no beer, whatever. Another Caps news. Should we go to another Caps news?
Yeah, sure. This show has no format right now.
No, we have notes, but we've gone completely so far away from them. Carlson actually came in second in votes for the Norris, so
Rob.
That's pretty cool.
He's robbed.
You know, he had a good season.
He did.
So, you know what? It's fine. I'm not all that worried about it. I have hope that he'll get it one day. I think with Laviolette, that'll give him even better of an opportunity. He was also named to the NHL's first All-Star team. So I thought that was pretty cool. So congrats to him for at least their recognition. I'm sure he just probably doesn't care. Well, maybe a little bit. You're like, oh, that's pretty good. Caps announced that they re-signed. This is from a little while ago. They re-signed Brian Pinhoe and Daniel Sprong, both to two-year deals with a cap hit of $725,000 a season. Depth moves. I have no problem with either one of these deals. I think these are depth guys to have in the organization. They could potentially make the team if they, you know, have a nice step up. Pinhoe's 25, and he'll be 25 until May 1st because that's when his birthday is, and that's how that works. And Sprong is 23 until March 17th. The Caps also announced that they have loaned Axel Janssen Fjällby. I really want him to make the Caps one day because I think his name is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got like the long flowing blonde hair. I think it would be fun. We need Eller to grow out his hair and then them to be on the same line.
I mean.
And then Brandon could be also be on that line as he takes his hair out.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, oh, look God, at those locks.
He just did the Pantene hair thing. So they loaned Janssen Fjällby to, I am definitely going to say this wrong, Västervik, IK, in Sweden, and Alex Alexiev, he got loaned to Salavat Ulev Ufa, sure, in the KHL. So
I want you to say that name again. That was funny.
You want to say it again? Yeah. The whole thing or just the end?
Just no. I just want you to say the team name again.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay, it was okay. I 100% saying this wrong. Salavat Ulev Ufa. It's UFA, and I was like, unrestricted free agent. So they're both off, but these deals are just until the Caps training camp opens in 2026. So they'll be recalled once the Caps training camp opens.
Now, we already talked about it with Ovi going to the KHL game and with COVID kind of running rampant in the KHL right now. How safe is it for these guys to be loaned out over in Europe? I mean, I think it's a smart idea because it'll be since March. A lot of these guys have not skated because the AHL shut down and did not start back up. So it's good to get these guys some experience on the ice and get their legs under them and everything like that. So it's not just like lost time. But how safe is it for them to be working over in Russia and Sweden and other places with, you know, the pandemic going on? It's a worldwide issue. I mean, during the lockout, Ovi went over and he broke a plane of glass with his head over in Russia, if you remember.
Yeah, but he's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think he meant to do
it. You know, it's not great in terms of, you know, COVID being so prevalent, but according to their government, they have a vaccine, so
everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's going to be great. But yeah, I think that's a lot of the Caps news. We got a new head coach. I'm curious to see who the assistants are going to be. And I'm excited for October 9th when free agency opens at noon. I'm going to start scrolling on the Twitter and on TSN's free agency tracker to see who the Caps bring in or trade.
What would be the biggest shock to you with the Capitals and free agency?
My biggest shock that I could see happening this offseason is the Capitals trading Yevgeny Kuznetsov. I don't think it's going to happen. That's my, like, I don't know if wild card is the right word to use here, but that would be my, like, what? Minute thing that, like I get that notification on my phone. I'm like, oh, something happened. I'd be like, and then I text you real fast. Brandon, he got traded. No, you know, that one I could see them doing. I don't think it will happen, but I could, like, I wouldn't be overly shocked. Now, if it's for a bad deal, then I'll be pissed. But I don't anticipate that being the case because they don't really have a lot of forwards outside of Connor McMichael, who I expect to make the team next season. And I don't think it's going to be as a second line center unless he has an amazing training camp. Though he's only 19, but he could be like 45 by the time next season comes around. That would be my big shocker, would be they trade Kuznetsov.
I see. I don't know if that would happen just because...
I don't think it's going to happen. That would be a big shock. That's what I'm saying.
Ovi is such a huge part of this team. I think that the Caps organization likes having other Russians around him. Now, we've seen guys like Alex Semin leave the team, and the guy who's lighting it up in the KHL right now, what was that guy's name? Stan Galiev. He's left as well, but I don't know. Kuznetsov seems like, you know, Ovi's going to always kind of have, like, the last say in whether he leaves or not. So, I don't know. Same thing with Orlov, too.
Oh, I think Orlov I didn't count because I think he goes because they need the cap space. I got another one.
Yeah.
Big surprise for the offseason, Michael Kempe gets traded.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I would applaud that, because had a great time at the Stanley Cup, and then he got that new contract, and he was like, now I can just sit back and relax.
Nah, he got that before, didn't he?
No, he won the Cup, and then he got a new contract.
You might be right. Either way, the injuries have definitely hampered him. Yeah. Sort of almost in that Carl Alzner type of way, where he got those injuries and just... Or Brooks-like, where they just... crash and burned after that. So you know, I like Kempe. I also wouldn't mind getting out from under that cap hit. So if you can move on from an Orlov and a Kempe, maybe you keep Jensen, you re-sign Dylan. That gives you Carlson, Jensen, not like these as pairings, I'm just listing off players. Carlson, Jensen, Dylan, Sangenthaler, that's your four. Then you can bring up a Favari and you know, an Alexiev, or you sign a veteran for your bottom six. Or not bottom six, for your third pairing. I could see something like that working out, you know?
I could see Kempney being traded. I absolutely can see that, and I'd be for that as well.
I think that'd be potentially be a salary dump. That's pretty much it for cap stuff. Unless you have anything else that I forgot to mention, but that's the stuff I have on my notes.
I think that's about everything.
I do have the NHL. Caps may be quiet with the exception of a head coach. But some other teams are certainly making some noise with some surprising trades. One of them that definitely caught the player off guard. This is not the first one, but St. Louis sent Jake Allen, which actually surprised me a little bit, though, with what's his name? Bennington? With Jordan Bennington, they are definitely have their number one. They sent him to Montreal and a seventh-round pick in 2022. St. Louis got a third-round pick, which was actually the Capitals. That must have been the... Oh, you know what? There's a pick they got sent for a Kolachuk. 2020 third-round pick and a 2020 seventh-round pick, which would originally belong to Chicago. So Montreal made a trade and didn't actually trade any of their official, like, their own draft picks, if that makes sense. Pittsburgh sent Nick Bjugstad to Minnesota for a seventh-round conditional pick. Pittsburgh also today announced that they sent forward Patrick Hornquist to Florida for defenseman Mike Matheson and forward Colton Sevior? I don't know. But the surprising trade actually was from about 8 days ago on September 16th. Minnesota acquired forward Marcus Johansson from Buffalo.
Mojo.
And they sent to Western New York forward Eric Staal, who was quite shocked, I believe, as what I read at this trade. He was like, what? What do you mean? I don't want to go. No, I don't know. So Staal, I guess, was a bit shocked at the trade. I was a little surprised Buffalo made that move, but it is what it is. So, I mean, I think it's a good move for Buffalo if Staal can still play, because that's a team that is really trying to do better before Jack Eichel tells him to piss off. But, yeah, that's the news. I think that's the show, dude.
That's the show?
That's the show.
All right. This is a weird one.
I'm trying to, yeah, well, it's been a while since we've recorded, so we got to get back into the, you know, flow.
Right.
It's our off season two.
All right, well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, who is shocked, where can people tweet to you at?
Jack Eichel makes $10 million a year. I want to make $10 million a year. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff when things actually happen. So yeah, that, and I also on Twitter talking about Arsenal Football Club, doing pretty well lately. Mikel Arteta, it's fantastic. Re-signed Aubameyang, great move. Also talking about the Bills, Washington Football Team. Man, they got crushed by Arizona.
First week, and though, they looked good.
That's Philly.
Oh, yeah. What was that noise?
What?
Well, yeah.
That, you tell me. That was you. Yeah, yeah. So that's me finding you on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you have enjoyed the show,
if you
have enjoyed our rambling, and the first time I think we've actually ever talked about politics, sort of.
Yeah.
As we didn't have any Jersey talk tonight.
We didn't.
Actually, before we go to the next bit, I have a question that I've wanted to ask, and I always forget to do this. Maybe I did before. Would you be in favor of hockey teams going along the line of soccer teams and how they change their jerseys every season?
Every season?
So, yes, every season.
No.
Teams come out with a new jersey, like a home and away and third and whatever else, right? Now, they usually will stick with the historic. They're always like same colors. It's not like they usually same colors. You know, so the team that I follow, Arsenal, they always have a red with the white sleeves. Ryan's team, Chelsea, is always blue. But like, would you be in favor of hockey teams having, you know, a different or a new jersey, an updated jersey every season?
I would be cool with a third alternate, a different one each year. That's cool. I'd be fine with something like that. But no, like, I like the tradition of having a home and an away. And I'm not buying a new jersey every single year.
You don't have to buy one. I'm not buying one every single year, but that's also because I'd like to stay married. Plus, the ones this year are okay. I kind of really want the one that Arsenal had. That's besides the point. But yeah, all right. So I was curious as to your thoughts on that one. But anyways.
There has been a lot of talk with the Capitals. The fact that...
going back to the vintage ones?
The third jersey went on big time sale at the former Kettler Capital Iceplex.
Wait. To clarify so I don't get angry, which one is the third one?
The red alternate.
Okay, good. All right. I was worried for a second there. You could talk about
the not the beautiful stadium one.
No, don't. Brandon, don't start.
Not that beautiful, beautiful blue.
Piece of crap jersey.
But those jerseys went on sale a couple weeks ago at, like, major discounts. $25 for a kid's jersey.
Oh, yeah, you sent me that. Yeah, but I wasn't driving to Virginia.
They would have mailed it to you. But those things are going on sale, so a lot of people are saying that that will not be the third jersey for the Capitals next season, that they might be doing something new.
I like that one. What was the sound that I just made? Aw, I'm so sad. Right, so what's the third one going to be? Don't do it.
You know what I want.
Don't do it. Oh, God, no. Oh, I hate that blue jersey. It's so bad. It has a cummerbund.
I like it. Bring it back.
You're wrong.
Bring it back.
I know it's opinion-based, but your opinion is wrong. It's so terrible. Anyways, wow, we got way off track and we were wrapping it up. So if you've enjoyed whatever this has been, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we put out information about the Capitals, when new shows are coming out, things regarding the NHL, and it's where I'll be very angry when the Capitals announce their third jersey for their next season, whenever that may be, is the blue stadium series with the red cummerbund, and I'm gonna be pissed. And not in the fun British way, in the angry American way. But yeah, that's following us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they happen to follow a certain purple colored team in the Baltimore area of the National Football League, is there a podcast they can listen to before going to games? Oh, no, sorry, can't go to games. Before going to your living room to watch a game.
Well, if you are a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, you can check out my other podcast, The Call Podcast. That's right. Me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens football. But go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know, since we're Caps Podcast. We're always sharing cool hockey-related things. All right, now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for this show. I don't know when we'll be back. We'll I guess free agency. We'll talk a little bit about free agency.
If not, well, I have to look at a calendar. I mean, if not next week, it'd be the week after, because we definitely need to talk before free agency starts.
Yeah, so we won't be far away.
Free agency starts on the 9th. Yeah, we definitely would need to have another show before free agency. Just, you know, we'll see kind of where they're at. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a trade that happens before then, and then what we expect. Yeah, we'll definitely have a show.
We won't be far away, people. We'll come back. We'll be talking free agency. Just make sure you stay tuned to Facebook, and you'll be the first to know. And make sure you subscribe to wherever you listen to our podcast, so when you know a new show will be coming out. So that's it for this show. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.